Peace, love, and misunderstandings. I'm Dave, joined by my joyous co-host, Ryan.
Be like the Randy to your Ralphie.
Yeah, the pole to my tongue. That might not be.
No, no, that's awful, and I'm not cutting that out. Everybody's going to listen to that.
So that's
your
Ryan.
I'm Dave.
I'm Dave. It's our Christmas story episode. Happy holidays.
I feel like you need your mouth washed out with soap.
I probably do. Tagline this week: peace, love, and misunderstandings. If you know what that movie, what that tagline is from, and I hope you don't, and I hope you've never seen it, email us, moviesonup@gmail.com, Twitter @moviesonup, facebook.com/moviesonup, or moviesonup.com. So it's Christmas next week, I think. Something like
ish.
That. Yeah.
This month. Later this month.
It's Christmas this month.
Or if you listen to this in July, it was Christmas a couple months ago. Where were you?
So we are doing our Christmas story episode. It embodies Christmas. But only one of us likes this movie.
It's not me. Spoiler alert.
You have numbers. You want to talk box office.
Let's do that first.
Yeah.
Because it is kind of tradition, I guess you might say. And I guess Christmas story to some people is a tradition. But what we like to do at the top is talk some box office numbers. Opening weekend, November 18th of 1983, this movie grossed just over $2 million, good for number three in the box office that weekend, behind Amityville 3D and The Big Chill. Number four, interestingly, or maybe not, more interesting to me, one of the unofficial Bond movies with Sean Connery, Never Say Never Again, kind of the unofficial remake to Thunderball, that finished number four and a much better movie. Lifetime gross, Christmas Story made $20.6 million. That is good for 2,833rd place all time on the domestic charts. And it is surrounded by two movies that I have neither never seen nor heard of. So regale me, Dave. What do you think is in place 2,832?
Deep Star 6.
No. It is The Great Waldo Pepper from 1975. Oh, yes, that film. And ranking right behind Christmas Story at 2834. Any guesses?
Leviathan.
No, and it's not The Abyss either. It is 1986's FX.
I love FX.
Okay.
And FX, too. Brian Brown.
Well, it made just...
Brian Dennehy.
Just less than the Bryans. Like, you had the Coreys, and you've got the Bryans.
I love those movies.
It made just less than A Christmas Story. Christmas Story made about $20 million at the box office just for fun. Another movie that made $20 million at the box office that I like a lot more, Showgirls.
Yeah, both. Different times, inflation.
Yeah, but one of them was not rated PG.
This movie, I feel like, is pretty polarizing because you have people like me that love it and then people that just hate the fact that it's on 24 hours a day on Christmas. So... get the bad stuff out of the way first. Why don't you like A Christmas Story?
It's not that I don't like the movie. I don't love it nearly as much as, I don't know, people that really seem to be Christmas Story fans do like it. It's fine. I would say that I could probably take it or leave it. More often than not, I would leave it. To me, I just don't necessarily understand why it is something that people will drop what they're doing and watch on Christmas Day. I guess if it's a tradition in your house, fine. People have weird traditions or whatever. It was never a tradition to me, so I don't feel at any point on Christmas like my day is incomplete if I don't see all of or part of A Christmas Story. I think just because maybe you do something every year, like Dave, you have an older brother, and by all accounts, he's a pretty good dude. Now, let's just say that as a Christmas tradition, or as a birthday tradition, whatever, a tradition in the Becella household, on this special day, your brother would wake you up by kicking you in the nuts. That's a tradition, but that doesn't mean that it's good and one that you should continue.
But that's not why I love this movie.
Why do you love this movie?
I don't love this movie because of tradition. I love this movie because it makes me smile. And I mean, it's been...
lots of movies make you smile.
It's been part of... and I love those movies. I guess it's been part of different traditions for me. We'd watch it, you know, once or twice through Christmas season growing up, but then growing up working retail, I worked in a store where every day, Black Friday, we would put this movie on the TVs and have it loop until Christmas Eve. And I liked that because as hectic as it got, if I could get 5 minutes to just watch a glimpse of this movie, it kept me sane. So that was a tradition for a couple of years. when I lived on my own, I watched this movie a couple times a week from, you know, after Thanksgiving until Christmas, like, because it was rough. I was having a rough go of it. And this movie, just putting it on, not having to dedicate my time to just sit down and watch it. This is the perfect background movie ever.
More so than Ultraviolet?
Yes. And I think that's why it's so loved by people and why it's on 24 hours a day, because ultimately it's a sketch movie. I mean, this movie is a bunch of different sketches starring Ralphie and his family all put together, because you could turn this movie on at any time and you don't have to worry about what you've missed. And you could watch 10 or 15 minutes of this and then go out to dinner or whatever. You don't have to catch it from beginning to end, because there's so many good parts. And no matter where you turn it on, you're basically just a couple minutes away from the next section or sketch happening. And it's the perfect movie to have in the background, because if you just catch the part with the brother eating at dinner with the pig noises, like, that makes me laugh every time, no matter how many times I've seen it. It just, all the parts all put together, you don't have to watch them all from point A to point B. You can watch them anytime. And I mean, like, you'd never seen the movie from front to back until recently.
Until yesterday.
Yeah.
That's my only viewings of this movie, such as they were 15 minutes.
But you felt like you'd seen it all, and you had seen it all. Exactly. But not in together, because you don't have to. And that's why it's the perfect movie that if I turn it on Christmas morning and then have to turn it off so we can open presents, and then I turn it on in the afternoon when the kids are falling asleep, it's on. And I don't care if it's what I saw earlier, because there's going to be parts that I didn't see earlier. And it flows together so nicely that, and it's not even about Christmas. It's just, I legitimately find it funny.
That's what I wanted to ask. I mean, it is sort of a sketch movie. I'll agree with you there. And I think that some of the funnier parts, you mentioned the pig noise, you kind of not so vaguely referenced the pole. These things don't have anything to do with Christmas, but I think they're the funniest parts. And if you've got a movie that, I mean, it's called A Christmas Story, whatever, and, you know, there is kind of that narrative of trying to get this, BB gun for Christmas. And it, I don't want to say it culminates on Christmas, because it still kind of goes a little bit after Christmas morning as well. But if some of the funniest parts have nothing to do with Christmas, then the tradition of it being a Christmas movie, is it more or less just, does it have anything to do with the movie, or is it more or less just the feelings you get residually from watching the movie,
I think it's a feelings movie.
Right, it's a bit of a safety blanket or like a comfort item, but it's not because of the movie.
No, well, you take something like Elf. I enjoy Elf as a Christmas movie.
I like it much better than this.
I don't want to watch it in like March or April. If Christmas Story's on, I'm still going to watch it, because it does make me laugh so much. And like the part with the decoder ring, where it's like,
again, having nothing to do with Christmas.
Has nothing to do with Christmas, but it's hilarious. And there's so much. You could find more parts that aren't about Christmas than are about Christmas, because even ultimately, their Christmas doesn't really have anything to do with Christmas. They go out to a Chinese restaurant. It's just, it's so funny, and I just feel like it's so well done that I cannot imagine watching this movie and not smiling through the whole thing or not laughing, because it does brings so much joy. And maybe it is that time. Maybe, I mean, it is embodied. Like, yeah, I do get chills when I watch it about the time of Christmas. It does put me in that mood. But it's a good family story, too. Like, that about a family that ultimately, like, yeah, Christmas was ruined. The dogs ruined it. But they're still enjoying their Christmas together. And just the leg lamp, everything about it. I love this movie so much. And I understand why people do. And I just feel like the ones that don't, I don't know if it was just timing, if it came too late, or it's just, it was over time. I don't know, but I honestly can't imagine watching this movie and not just smiling a little bit.
I smile a little bit from time to time, but again, it's the parts that have nothing to do with Christmas, so I don't know. I'm definitely not watching this on Christmas Day. Not going
to
happen.
Oh, it'll be on it. So I won't watch it from front to back, but it'll probably be on a couple times through the day.
I'm going to unplug all the TVs just so it can't be on.
Take away the Christmas part of it as an actual movie, as far as everything else goes. How do you feel about it, how it was made?
I think from the parts of the story that have more to do with just kind of growing up, I identify with those. I mean, growing up in the Midwest with winters when Randy's getting dressed to go to school and he can't put his arms down. Like, I mean, everybody's been there when you've, you know, bundled up and, yeah, you really can't walk, or you go out to either sled ride, or, you know, you're going out to play football or whatever you're doing with your friends. You're dressed like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. And to me, those are the things, you know, that I identify with, and those are the parts of the movie that I like. But to me, that I don't make the connection with Christmas there. So I just feel like I would have just as much enjoyment watching this movie on, you know, January 25th as I would December 25th.
It's a great coming of age story. It really is. I mean, he doesn't really come to age. It's more the process than the end game. But
or like a snapshot of...
Yeah, of adolescence. Because yeah. Just the part, okay, he's helping his dad with a tire. He feels bonded, so he drops the F-bomb. Oh, you're not that close with him yet. Like, the beating up the bully, the stuff like that. Again, nothing to do with Christmas, but as a coming-of-age story, if you take away the Santa scene and the whole Red Ryder BB gun, like, subplot... all that stuff, and you just have a really good coming-of-age story that just takes place in the winter. And it's really good and so relatable because...
Who hasn't beaten up the kid with liver disease?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's so funny. But what I like most about it is the performances in it, I think, are ridiculous. Peter Billingsley as Ralphie does so good. And Gene Shepard's narration, it's edited together so well that... you forget that it's two different people. You forget that that's Gene Shepard and Peter Billingsley because he's doing such a good job that as the voice is talking, it's put together so well that it's like, you imagine that that's just Peter Billingsley grown up narrating this because...
Yeah, I mean, I think the narration is somewhere between like How I Met Your Mother and Dawson's Creek. The vocabulary that's used is definitely not something, you know, that a young Ralphie would say. I do think that the performances were really good. I think the mom was really
Melinda
good.
Melinda Dillon is so... Who doesn't want her as a mom?
Right.
Just this. Back to the scene of the dinner. Like, her smile and her laughing is just so funny.
And I think that Randy was really good and really funny as well. I really didn't care for Ralphie. I don't think he necessarily was that good in the movie. Most of the times I laughed, it was at the other characters, and maybe that's a little bit of Ralphie playing the straight guy, but...
Oh yeah, I don't think he had a lot of joke. It was all reaction, and that's why, not to mention Darren McGavin, too. We haven't mentioned him.
Oh, yeah.
He was perfect as the dad, but for a kid that young to do the reactions so well, and that's why the narration worked so well, because... he was acting to... a lot of the reactions were to voiceovers. And
yeah, but he's no hush puppy.
No, he didn't have a lot of his jokes to deliver, but I think he did carry the movie. And Bob Clark, coming from where he came from, where he did horror movies mostly, and it took a lot for him to be able to make this movie, and I thought he delivered. Randy, actually, I think Randy lives at the Christmas Story House in Cleveland.
Well, then I would go with you, just to high five that.
We were there looking at... I said something. I was making a crack about his note that he wrote in his book because I didn't think he was there, and then I turn around and he's behind me in like slippers and pajama pants drinking coffee like he just woke up and came downstairs, and it was really weird.
What are you doing in my house, creeps?
Like, it was really, really... All right, he lives in the gift shop because it was the gift shop where I was complaining about that. But it was just so random and weird. But if you haven't been to the Christmas Story House... and
it's on Cleveland Street, right?
It's kind of cool. It's all the exterior shots. It's in Cleveland. It was kind of cool. We had fun there. Me and my pal Eric Cribbley went, and it was a lot of fun. But yeah, I think the movie is so good, and I think directing-wise, acting-wise... I think all of it just came together, and I understand why it's such a classic. Because you take something like... I know you like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, but I feel like that's more for a narrower audience. Like,
do you?
I do. Well, I haven't seen it.
Exactly.
But I don't think it's as... I can't... I don't know. I can't put what I'm saying into words.
I guess it's maybe not... it's narrower in that maybe you can't sit down with a 3-year-old and watch it. I mean, a lot of the humor is maybe not necessarily appropriate or slightly over their heads. But like a tradition for me on Christmas would be just like playing with my Christmas presents or hanging out with my family. As a Christmas movie, we've both said that most of the best things about this movie have nothing to do with the Christmas part of it. So for me, like, yeah, absolutely. Christmas Vacation and Ernest Saves Christmas, Elf. Like, I like these all much more as Christmas movies because I think that the parts about Christmas are better in those than this one. This is a fine winter movie about a young lad, but I don't need to see it on Christmas, and I damn sure don't need to see it 24 hours straight.
So when you grow up and have a family, what is your go-to Christmas movie you're going to watch with the kids?
Lethal Weapon.
See, that is a point I was going to make, is Christmas Story is
Gremlins.
Like, Christmas Story is like the only, I guess, traditional Christmas movie that I think I love. Because, yeah, Gremlins, Die Hard, Lethal Weapon, those all come to mind. But as far as like just straight up, this movie is about Christmas.
Ernest Saves Christmas.
I do enjoy Ernest Saves Christmas. I don't know how well it's aged. I haven't watched it 1,000 times.
Ernest movies age wonderfully. What are you talking about?
I don't know. Maybe eventually I'll watch like Ernest Saves Christmas, Madea Goes to Christmas. But I just feel like this is the perfect movie I can put on for my kids. My kids laugh at it. They don't know what's going on. They enjoy it.
No, they'll laugh at Ernest too, I'm telling you.
Oh, I know they will. If you took over TBS or TNT or whoever broadcasts this 24 hours a day and says, you know what, things are changing now. Every Christmas we're going to play this 24 hours a day. What are you playing?
Here's another problem that I have.
Or would you rather just 12 movies in a row?
I would rather do 12 movies in a row, but what do I care what TBS is doing on Christmas? For God's sake, if there's one day you ought to not be a slave to the television, isn't it Christmas? Hang out with your family. Go see a damn movie. Like, there's all sorts of awesome movies that come out on Christmas.
Django Unchained.
Yes, like I did.
I know.
I had a great Christmas by myself with Jamie Foxx. But that's kind of the other thing, is I think that a lot of people kind of get into this, well, it's Christmas and Christmas Story is on TV, so I'm going to watch it. And that's how it becomes a tradition. And I'll be damned. I'll be baby Jesus damned if I let TBS or TNT or whatever it is tell me what my Christmas traditions are going to be just because it's cheap for them to buy the rights to this movie and it takes up an entire day of programming that they know people aren't really going to be watching.
I like it still. I like that I could turn the TV on any time and it's on.
Just get it on DVD.
I had it on DVD.
Well, get it again. I will give you a copy on DVD. And then you don't have to worry about what TBS is doing.
Then I don't have to wait till Christmas to watch it.
You're right. You can do it on January 25th, just like I'll do, and be like, this is a decent wintertime movie.
I just wish the sequel was better. Like, we talk about, like, how good it was, where it's such a good coming-of-age story. And my summer story should have been awesome, but it just wasn't.
Never seen it.
It's not worth it.
Unless we have to do a podcast on it, I'm not going to see it. But, I mean, obviously, the movie, I don't want to say that it's about getting this Red Ryder BB gun, but obviously that is a giant part of the movie. And I guess as much as, you know, I can relate to dressing up or, you know, trying to fix the car with my dad and having it come out about the same way, what was your Red Ryder BB gun? Like, what was the Christmas present that you wanted, and when you got, you think you almost, or you like almost died?
Probably Ghostbusters Firehouse is probably the one I went most on.
What did that come with?
I don't remember.
I think I remember it came with like some slime.
There was slime because the grate you could pour it down, and it had the fire pole.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like that one. That was, thinking back to Christmas, I don't have a lot of childhood memories. I for some reason, they're just gone. But
because you spent too much damn time watching Christmas Story.
Yeah. So for like memories of like how excited I was Christmas morning, probably the firehouse, the Ghostbusters firehouse.
I don't even think. I know for me, it absolutely was my 8-bit Nintendo. When I got that thing,
I've seen the YouTube video.
Yeah. it was pretty rad. To this day, I don't know that I've ever been that excited about anything. And I will never show my kids or my wife that video because they'll know just how disappointed in them I am when they see how jacked I got about getting Super Mario Brothers World Class Track Meet and Duck Hunt.
I like that track meet one.
Yeah, it was
awesome.
I would
just do the hands on the ground.
I cheated. I had a couple pieces of furniture that I would like kind of suspend myself to where my feet were just barely touching that pad. I could run like the cheetah through the hurdles, and I could still beat him because I was.
I would kneel down and just like drum on it, like two hands.
It's different cheating techniques, but it would have been interesting to get that meet going. But the white whale, what you never got.
I never got the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier.
I was never a G.I. Joe. I mean, I had some G.I. Joes.
I was never a big G.I. I mean, I had G.I. Joes, but yeah. they were more my brother's thing, but that aircraft carrier was awesome.
Yeah, there were some pretty sweet play sets from when we were kids. I didn't get the Ghostbusters thing. I didn't get the aircraft carrier. I had the Bat Cave, which was pretty cool. But for me, the White Whale, the one that got away, kind of works hand in hand with my 8-bit Nintendo. I wanted, and probably to this day, if somebody wants to make me cry at Christmas, if you can get me an in-the-box copy of Super Tecmo Bowl, I probably will weep like a child, and we'll put that on YouTube too. So my family can see just how disappointed in them I am. But that was one that I wanted. I did the Ralphie thing where I tried to think, well, how can I let my parents know that I want this? So we'd go to the video store, and instead of renting movies every week, I would rent Super Tecmo Bowl, just thinking that, well, they got to get the hint that I like this game. It just never materialized. But, you know, I guess that was the good thing about being semi-social as a child. My friend Nathan had it, so I could just go to his house and play it.
Yeah, no, my only white whale I can think of is that. Like, I can't think of anything else.
I think that's a relatively good sign that, you know, we obviously had pretty decent Christmases as children, that we don't have like this laundry list of I never got this and I never got this.
My kids are getting the remote control Shell Razor this year.
Is that a Clive Barker toy? What is that?
No, the Turtles van.
Oh, it was the Turtle van. I didn't realize that it had a name.
The Shell Razor.
Shell Razor.
Yeah, got them the remote control one. They're going to go nuts.
Or you're going to go nuts. Kayla's going to go nuts.
They all love them.
Like that. Tally likes them too?
Tally loves them.
Well, it's a good thing they don't listen to this podcast. Otherwise, you would have just spoiled Christmas, yeah. Dad.
Oh, they're getting lots of other stuff. But that's our Christmas story episode. We kind of rambled at the end, but it's the holidays.
I felt like we rambled through most of it.
Through about 120 episodes by now.
That's true. It's really hard to pick out and say, no, this one, you guys
this
rambled.
This one we were on point. This,
yeah, exactly. You were on target through most of the Chronicle episode.
Yeah, this week we did Golden Globes earlier. We hope you like this. Watch Christmas Story next week, or
don't
if you don't like Joy. Next week will actually be Christmas, and we're going to have our favorite movies that take place on or around Christmas.
Which maybe some of them we've mentioned.
We might have. And then the week after that, we're giving our very first annual Uppies. Is that what we're calling them?
Sure.
They're our own movie awards.
Let's just put it this way. You've already just right now named them the Uppies. How much time between now and the end of the month are you going to put into coming up with another name?
Well, we're recording it next week, so it doesn't. Or we recorded it last week. Or wait, I don't know when we recorded.
Or if you're listening to this in July, we recorded it 6 months ago.
These aren't all in chronological order.
No, they're
not. It's actually July 23rd right now.
2012.
We banked this episode. But anyway,
we're just assuming that the apocalypse doesn't kill us all in December of 2012.
Enjoy your Christmas. Thank you for listening to us. If you've made it this far, we appreciate it. And check us out, moviesonup.com, moviesonup@gmail.com. Let us know what your white whale was or what your Red Ryder BB gun
was. Yeah, don't tell
me
about Christmas Story because I don't care. I don't want to hear it. But if you want to tell me like your favorite Christmas present in the world, that would be cool.
Tweet at us at Movies On Up, Facebook at
.com/MoviesOnUp.
Hit us up on Stitcher. You can listen to us on Stitcher. You can listen to us on the iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review.
That
would
be a nice Christmas present.
That's what
yeah.
I want for Christmas.
Yeah, we never really got that.
Yeah. So our New Year's resolution for next year is we're going to try to be more active on the Facebook and Twitter because we're terrible at that. I rarely check it.
So. Is that our resolution?
Yes. I'm going to make you partake. So that's it. Enjoy your holiday. Be safe out there if it's snowing. And until next week,
don't shoot your eye out.